Jaya Gopi Jana Vallapa, Jaya Giri Varadari. Jaya Yashodhanandana, Jaya Vrajajanaranjana. Jaya Yashodhanandana, Jaya Vrajajanaranjana. Jaya Yamuna Tiravanachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Jaya Yamuna Tiravanachari, Jaya Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava, Jaya Kunja Bihari.
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिवाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय धर्मोस मर्सीफुल लॉर्डशिप श्री श्री गौरनाथ जगन्नाथ बलदेव सुभद्रा महारानी श्री श्री किशोर किशोर की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम 9th कैंटो 18th चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 49 यस्मिन् इतं विरचितं व्योम्निवा जलधावलिः नानेव भाति न भाति स्वप्न माया मनोरथः यस्मिन् इदं विरचितं व्योम्नि वा जलतावलिः नानेव भाति न भाति स्वप्ना माया मनोरथः यस्मिन् इदं विरचितं व्योम्नि वा जलतावलिः नानेव भाति न भाति स्वप्ना माया मनोरथः Yashmin, in whom, idam, this entire cosmic manifestation, virachitam, created, vyomni, in the sky, iva, just like, jalata avalihi, clouds, nana iva, as if in different varieties, bhati, is manifested. Na abhati is unmanifested. Swapna maya, illusion like a dream. Manarathaha, created to the traversed by the chariot of the mind. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Vasudeva, who created the cosmic manifestation, exhibits himself as all-pervading, like the sky that holds clouds, And when the creation is annihilated, everything enters into the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and varieties are no longer manifested. We will also read the translation of previous few verses from verse number 45 onwards. Sukadeva Goswami said, "In this way, O Maharaj Parikshit, the son named Puru was very pleased to accept the old age of his father, Yayati, who took the youth of his son and enjoyed this material world as he required. Thereafter, King Yayati became the ruler of the entire world, consisting of 7 islands, and ruled the citizens exactly like a father, because he had taken the youth of his son. His senses were unimpaired, and he enjoyed as much material happiness as he desired. In secluded places, engaging her mind, words, body, and various paraphernalia, Devayani, the dear wife of Maharaj Yayati, always brought her husband the greatest possible transcendental bliss. King Yayati performed various sacrifices in which he offered abundant gifts to the Brahmanas to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari, who is the reservoir of all the demigods and the object of all Vedic knowledge. The Supreme Lord Vasudeva, who created the cosmic manifestation, exhibits himself as all-pervading, like the sky that holds clouds. And when the creation is annihilated, everything enters into the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and varieties are no longer manifested." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As stated by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, 19th verse, "Bhagunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prabhatyate vasudeva sarvamiti sha mahatma sudurlabha." After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, is one with the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everything is in him in the beginning and at the end. All manifestations enter into him. He is situated in everyone's heart. Sarvasya chagam ridhi sannivishta. And from him, everything has emanated. Janmadi yashyataha. All material manifestations, however, are temporary. The word swapna means dreams, maya means illusion, and manoratha means mental creations. Dreams, illusions, and mental creations are temporary. Similarly, all material creation is temporary, but Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the eternal absolute truth. Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakatamayam Tatati Shva Patantikam He Krishna Karuna Shindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanushute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Shindupya Yevacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Shadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim, Yat Krupatamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinataranam. So, seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas assembled here, so that we can discuss about something which we can find it useful. For some reason, whenever I am asked to give the class, I am given verses where we can talk for like, you know, days and days. So it is difficult for me to find like, you know, limit to certain number of points. Like, and like all these verses are filled with so many different things which we can learn. I will list about like, and like five or six of them, and maybe we can talk about like one or two in detail. First one is about the nature of the material desires. Here we can see that King Yayati, though he was cursed to take the assume the body of a old man, because of his indulgence in different sense gratification, but because he was so much inclined towards the sense gratification, he was so much addicted, he was trying to get a body of a youthful body. So he was begging his sons, please donate your body to me so that I can enjoy. Though he knows, because of the sense gratification, he was cursed to suffer. The nature of sense gratification is that we will try to find some loophole or other. Though we know that it is the one which is binding us again and again to this material world, but still we will try to find some way or other to enjoy the senses more and more. So in that process, we will be binding ourselves more and more to this material world. So that is one thing which stands out here. How though he was cursed, he was so much inclined to engage in the same activity again. And we can also see the opposite in the in his son Puru. As soon as his father asked him to donate his youth to him, he did not say that, "My dear father, wait a minute, what are you doing? You enjoyed this material life for so many thousands of years, and now it is my turn. I did not even start my material sense gratification process yet, and you are asking me to donate the youth to you." He did not ask any of those, because he understood what is the nature of tapasya. Whenever someone undergoes austerity, they reap transcendental benefit. They reap lot of benefit. So he understood that all this sense gratification are useless. So if my father wants me to give my youth to him, I will take this as the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So it is for my best. He is making this particular arrangement, so let me give this away, so that I will not be attracted to the sense gratification anymore. Because when someone has a old body, though their mind might be doing so many different things, asking them to enjoy different senses, but because of the old body, they will not be able to actually implement any of them. So everything is going to be just staying in mentally. So they will not be able to put forward in or participate in different physical activities. So he considered this as the benediction from the Lord. How wonderful the Lord is. So I am going to take this opportunity immediately and give away my youth so that I'll be protected. So later on, as we read in the next chapter, we will see what kind of benefit he reaped because of the tapasya of accepting a whole body he underwent. So he he had lot of benefits. But we can see with Maharaj Yayati, because of his inclination towards satisfying his material desires, we also see that how it is kind of binding, but he is very intelligent. We will see that later on he will come to when he kept on trying to satisfy his senses, he found that it is impossible to satisfy the senses. Though he was engaging in different satisfaction of different material desires for thousands of years, he was not able to fulfill all the material desires. So he understood material desires by nature, they cannot be satisfied. So then he just focused his attention on satisfying the senses of the Supreme Lord. He gave up everything, and he renounced everything, and then he focused on perfecting his devotional life. So that is the second point I wanted to make. And with Maharaj Yayati, we can also see that in text 48 it says, King Yayati performed various sacrifices in which he offered abundant gifts to the Brahmanas to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari, who is the reservoir of all the demigods and the object of all Vedic knowledge. Though he was so much materially inclined, he was so much addicted to sense gratification, but still he did not give up worshipping the deities, or here we can see that he was performing various sacrifices for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. And we can see what is the effect of that sacrifice. The effect of that sacrifice was that though he was so much addicted to sense gratification, by the mercy of the Lord, he came to his senses. Because from the Lord comes the knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, all of them. So because of his sacrifices, the Lord at a opportune moment, he gave him the remembrance that all this sense gratification program is not going to lead him anywhere. He is just going to stay in this material world. So he came to his senses, and because of that he changed his focus to performing devotional service. The point here is that irrespective of whatever circumstances we might be having, we should not deviate from doing the sacrifices for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. So what is the sacrifice for this particular age? This is congregational chanting of the Maha Mantra. So that is why we always see during his Bhagavatam classes, or in his writing, or during morning walks, or wherever it is, Srila Prabhupada was again and again and again and again, he was keep on emphasizing on the importance of the chanting. So when we focus on doing the sacrifice, in this age, that sacrifice is chanting the Maha Mantra for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord, he protects us. He protects us. So that is one thing which we can learn from here. Though he was, from one perspective, we can see that he was so much, he is hiding from me. I'm seeing. So, though in one sense we can see that he was so much materially addicted, materially contaminated, we might say that there is no hope for him. What is the hope? Right? So he was so much into sense gratification, and then he was asking the sons, please give your youth, and then he was engaging himself in more sense gratification. This is kind of the extreme case. So we might say that, there is no hope for him. But still there was hope. So that is, whenever we read these kind of pastimes, that will give us the hope. We can see where we stand in our own Krishna consciousness. What kind of anarthas are there in our heart? From millions and billions and trillions and zillions and I don't know, whatever is the other big number, all these, like, you know, times of lifetimes, we have been, like, you know, engaging ourselves in so many different sense gratification activities. All these are, like, you know, etched in our mind. As, like, you know, all these samskaras are etched in our mind. All these impressions, they will make us act. Even if we are, even like after hearing so many different instructions from the spiritual master, from the devotees, how sense gratification is binding, still, like, a lot of times we engage in those at different levels. Maybe we might not be engaging them in the grossest level possible, but still, like, for many of us, we might be engaging in, like, in a lot of in a subtler ways, engaging in so many different, like, in a sense gratification activities. And the nature of karma is in such a way that we are going to be, like, you know, forced to act. Though we might hear, though we might know that this is wrong, but still we will not have complete power to actually implement whatever we heard because of these impressions. Because whenever these impressions are etched in the mind, whenever we participate in a particular, like, sinful activity, that creates some other, like, you know, impressions. These impressions are going to impel one to act in the same kind of sense gratification again. So once we do more sense gratification within the mind, there are going to be a lot of these desires which are going to be, like, added. And that desire, when it is becoming stronger, then we are going to be, like, acting in more, like, you know, like, we'll be engaging in more and more sense gratification or sinful activities. So it is kind of a endless loop. One is going to be feeding into the other. That is why we call this as material pushing. So we call it as material pushing. We don't need to, like, you know, really, like, act. Even, like, you know, like, as soon as, like, for example, if someone is so much attracted to the brown burfis, like, you know, because it tastes so nice, brown burfi. So as soon as somebody puts a brown burfi here, nobody needs to tell, "Prabhu, please eat the brown burfi." As soon as we see the brown burfi, we just kind of, like, you know, jump into it and, like, you know, like, we like honor. Hopefully we honor instead of devouring. So that is the nature. Like, you know, we don't even need to have somebody, like, bringing the brown burfi to us. As soon as we see that there is brown burfi, so we'll be naturally, like, attracted to it. So, like, you know, that is the pushing. Because our mind is kind of programmed in such a way that as soon as we are going to be seeing something, because of the samskaras, all these impressions which we had received from, like, millions of, like, births, it is going to push us in acting in a particular way. So it is very, very difficult to get rid of all this. So we should not be, like, you know, discouraged that, okay, like, I'm not that advanced or that or this or whatever it is. Whatever happens, we need to focus on rendering our devotional service to the Lord by chanting, hearing and serving, associating and serving the devotees. So when we do those, the Lord is going to provide His mercy. And when He provides His mercy, like, as we can see, like, you know, in this, like, pastime later on, and also various different pastimes. So within a fraction of a second, the life of a particular devotee changes upside down. Like, you know, like, we can see Murghari, the hunter, and so many different pastimes again and again in the scriptures. So within a fraction of a second, their life changes upside down. Why? It is because of the mercy of the Lord or the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord. So that is, like, you know, like, another like, instruction we can learn from these pastimes. And in this particular, like, verse itself, text number 48, here we can see that King Ayati performed various sacrifices in which he offered abundant gifts to the Brahmanas to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari. The easiest way to please the Lord, the easiest way to please the Lord is to please the devotees of the Lord. So as soon as the devotees of the Lord is pleased, the Lord is automatically pleased. In many places, the Lord says, He says that, you know, anybody who claims to be my devotee, they are not my devotees. But a devotee of my devotee is truly my devotee. Like that, there are so many different like verses we can read from the scriptures where he is keep on emphasizing on the importance of the devotees and how pleasing the devotees, especially the spiritual master. When we please the spiritual master, the Lord is going to be automatically be pleased. And it is very, very difficult to please Lord Krishna. It is very difficult to please Lord Krishna. But at the same time, it is very, very easy to please Him if we know the right method. If we directly try to please Him, He will not be pleased. Like, you know, we might say that I'm going to be offering you the best possible something, like, you know, maybe like I will go and purchase some flowers and offer it to the deities. Like, you know, the flowers we get in the United States is pretty much like useless. Like, you know, it doesn't have any smell. It might, and even it doesn't have natural color. Like, you know, we spray it with artificial colors and no fragrance, nothing. It is like, you know, like as good as cutting some flowers out of like paper and then offering it to the deities. My dear Lord, this is the best possible flower. I got it from Dominic's or Jewelasco or wherever it is for $15. Please accept it. Like it is, like, you know, it has no value. So it is very difficult. Like, you know, in essence, what I'm trying to say is that we don't have any tools available to us which we can offer to the Lord to please Him. But if we are going to be like offering the same flower to our spiritual master, then the spiritual master will offer it to Srila Prabhupada. Will tell Srila Prabhupada, I know that, like, you know, this flower is pretty useless, but out of the love, this particular devotee, he tried his best to offer this. So please, like, you know, offer it to your own spiritual master. Then Srila Prabhupada offers to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and so on and so forth. Eventually, it reaches Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna says that, like, you know, patram pushpam palam toyam. Like, you know, he is saying, like, you know, you can offer me flower, water, that and this. But that is not the thing which he is asking us to offer. What he wants with love. What he wants is that love. So he did not say, like, you know, just offer me, like, you know, 64 different items or 640 big preparations made with, like, you know, like ghee, that and this and whatnot. He doesn't demand all those. What he demands is the love. All this, like, you know, like water and fruit and flowers and boha, flowers, whatever we are offering to the Lord, these are nothing but tools which will help us in expressing our love. Only thing he is looking for is that particular love. And because he has that loving relationship with different acharyas in our disciplic succession, so when we go through our disciplic succession in offering something, the Lord accepts. It is not, he is accepting not because we offered something great. He accepts it because of his love to those pure devotees. So that's why, again, like, as long as we try to please the devotees and the spiritual master, especially, the Lord is going to be very easily pleased. So that is the shortcut Maharaj Ayati is following here. He was not directly trying to please the Lord. Rather, he was trying to please the Brahmanas by giving them, like, you know, different gifts so that they can preach, they can worship the Lord. So again, like, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, లైక్ వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ సే, లైక్ నగం విప్రో నచ నరపతి నపి వైశ్యో న శూద్రో నగం వర్ణి నచ గ్రగపతి నవనోస్తో యథీర్వా కింతు ప్రోత్యాన్. నో ఐఎమ్ ఐ థింక్ చేంజింగ్ సంథింగ్. యా గోపి పరతుర్ పదకమలయోర్ దాస దాసాను దాస్. He's saying like, you know, I am not a Vaishya, I am not a Shudra, I am not this, I am not that, but I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis. So that is the teaching of like Mahaprabhu. We need to be in the mood of being the servant of the servant rather than trying to please the Lord directly. We need to rather try our best to please the devotees. We need to assist the devotees in such a way that they can serve the Lord. That is going to make the Lord much more easily, the Lord is going to be easily pleased by that particular approach. So that is the reason why, though Maharaj Yayati, he was involved in so much of sense gratification. For like in 1,000 years, he was engaging in so many different like sense gratification activities. But he did one thing which is great. He was trying to please the devotees. Because he was trying to please the devotees, the Lord was so merciful, he was so pleased. Then he gave him the remembrance. So with that, he was able to perfect his life. He was able to perfect his life. So that is like, you know, one thing which we can learn from these like pastimes. Like, you know, like how pleasing the Lord's devotees are the easiest way to please the Lord. So like often, though we know this theoretically, when it comes to practice, for many of us we have the hesitation. We don't want to really implement that. Like, you know, a devotee might be like asking us to do some service, you'll be like, oh no, I cannot do that. I am so busy with so many other services. And if we carefully look at what we are doing, like all of us, especially those who are initiated devotees, every day we are sincerely chanting 16 rounds. So 16 times 108 is 1700 something, mantras. So we are telling Kishore Kishori 1700 something times, please engage me in your service. Then Kishore Kishore is like, okay, maybe this devotee has some desire to serve me. Okay, I will give an opportunity to serve me. So now maybe it comes through, maybe let's say like Mukunda Raghunath Prabhu. Mukunda Raghunath Prabhu is now coming and asking me, can you do this service? Then I say, oh no, I cannot do this. The next day, again, we sit in front of Kishore Kishori and nicely chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, please engage me in your service. They're like, okay, yesterday you said the same, I gave you an opportunity to render some service and you refused. So again you are asking, so let me give another opportunity. Like now Navin Krishna Prabhu comes, please do some service. Like, no, I'm busy. I am busy chanting. I cannot serve. We see that, often whenever it comes to putting things in practice, we often don't do that. If we really understand that serving the devotees to make their service easier, that is the one which is going to please the Lord. Actually, whenever we engage in some of the pujari services, we do see that some of the pujaris, they do the services so nicely. Often they do things which is not like asked of them, like not asked from them. They do something more. Someone might be doing some extra stuff so that the next pujari, when she or he is going to come to render their service, they will see everything nicely arranged. Maybe water from the conch blowing, it might be totally gone, and someone might be filling that and wiping everything and bringing some new towels or whatever it is. So those are the services which is going to be pleasing to the Lord, because no one asked us to do that. But when we do that with the intention of serving the other devotees so that their service to the Lord is going to be much easier, then the Lord sees those and he is going to be much easily pleased, like he was pleased with King Yayati. So that is one of the main thing which we can learn from this particular pastime. Anyways, there are more things which we can discuss, but in the interest of time, we will not discuss other things, but let me make maybe two more points and then we'll stop here. In text 47, it says, in secluded places, engaging our mind, words, body, and various paraphernalia, Devayani, the dear wife of Maharaj Yayati, always brought her husband the greatest possible transcendental bliss. So here we can see that how Devayani is using whatever she had, our mind, our words, our body, and different paraphernalia, different things she had in her possession. She was using all of them in the service of her husband to bring him the joy. But here, that inclination was material. She was trying to fulfill the material desires of King Yayati and also her own material desires. So because of that, she was more and more bound. She was more and more bound. But the same thing we hear from scriptures. One has to use one's mind, words, body, and different paraphernalia in the service of the Lord. So when we use all this, then we are going to be liberated from this particular material world. So instead of these things binding us again and again to this material world, it is going to be liberating. So that is one point. And finally, in the last text, it is mentioned that how the Supreme Lord has created this entire manifestation and is all pervading, like the sky which holds the clouds. And whenever the creation is annihilated, everything is going back, enters into the Supreme Lord. And that is one thing which is mentioned here. And obviously this particular topic is we can keep on discussing about creation and all those. The one point which is very relevant is why the Lord needs to create the material world. So in here, Srila Prabhupada writes, actually, in the verse itself, it says, Swapna Maya Manorathaha. And Srila Prabhupada writes, the word Swapna means dreams, Maya means illusion, and Manuratha means mental creations. Though the material world is temporary, it has a specific purpose. The purpose is to make us come to our senses. If somebody is going to be committing a heinous crime, they are put in a prison. So prison is called as correctional center. So as soon as one is going to be repenting for their mistake and they are going to be acting in such a way to correct whatever mistake they did, they will be released from the prison within a shorter period of time. The reason for having the material world is not to punish somebody. It is to correct somebody so that they can come to their senses, so that they can go back home to Godhead. But at the same time, it is an illusion because it is temporary. It is not permanent. But at the same time, it exists. Material world, it does exist. So one thing which is relevant for us is here, Srila Prabhupada writes, Manorata means mental creations. So that is something as practicing devotees we can like relate to. Often when we are engaged in different like services, the power of the mind, like you know, mind is like a monkey. It keeps on, it likes to keep on jumping from one place to like another. And we will be like talking here, and we might be thinking about something which in a which is happening in a location which is like you know, like far, far away. So like far away, we will be thinking like what this person might be doing or what that person might be doing like that. So this like manoratha, all these mental like creations, and these are going to be really taking us away from whatever like we are doing. It is going to be distracting us. So we need to understand that these are like you know illusory in nature. So we should not like you know yield to the chanchalas of the mind. The mind will be keep on saying like you know do this, do that, and do something else, and it is going to give you even scriptural references why you need to do something, because scriptures are so vast and scriptures are designed to elevate each and every person, even a person who doesn't follow like Vedic injunctions. It assists a person who doesn't follow anything to at least follow something. Like, you know, maybe they are interested in eating meat. The scripture will say, sure, you can eat meat, but you need to follow these injunctions. So like that scriptures, because they are so vast, they have so many instructions which are seemingly contradictory with each other. Though there is no contradiction, but they are going to be seemingly contradictory to each other, because they are going to be giving instructions to different classes of people. For someone who doesn't even follow any dharmic principles, so they need to at least follow some dharmic principles. So if someone is going to be following some of the principles, then they need to take the next step, then the next step, and next step, like that. So because of that scriptures, they have so many different instructions. The mind is deceitful in nature. It is going to help us find all these scriptural references and quotes and all the slokas, so which is going to like you know justify a particular activity. Oh, like you know, it is fine. Like I can engage in this because so and so prana says so. So it is okay. So that is like you know one thing we need to be really mindful of. So in the interest of time, like we will stop here. There are also again like you know these like verses, they have so many different things which we can discuss about. They are like you know layers and layers and layers of like meaning, and so many practical applications which we can learn from. So we will stop here and see whether there are like any questions or comments or suggestions or corrections.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Very nice. Now from this example we can see that King Yayati has got so much inclinations to enjoy the life. Even though he's becoming getting old, then he wanted still more youth to enjoy it. So the questions come from this episode that as a practitioner, devotional service, or as a sadhaka, what we learn and then how to avoid or get rid of this attachment, which Krishna also mentions in Bhagavad Gita, raga and dvesha. So how we avoid this raga, attachment to these different things in this material world? That's the first question. And second question is that this swapna maya manoratha, it says here in this. So that swapna means it's like a dream. So the living entity dreams only at night, or it dreams only daytime also?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu. Loaded questions. For the first question, like what we can learn from Maharaj like Ayati's like pastime is the nature of material desires. Material desires by nature, they can never be satisfied. We might say, like, you know, especially actually we can see that many people who are addicted to a particular thing, so they will say, like, you know, oh, this is my last time I'm going to be engaging in this. This is the last time I'm going to do this. So after 10 years, if you go and talk to them, they will say the same. The last time I'm going to do, engage in a particular, like, activity. Because it is never satisfied, and because we want satisfaction, we keep on, like, you know, trying to engage more and more in these activities. So it is like pouring ghee into the fire. So one might say that, like, you know, ghee looks like it looks like water, so I'm going to be pouring it in, so that the more I am going to be, like, adding, so now I am going to be so fed up with material sense gratification that I am going to become a devotee. Like that, often we might, like, you know, come up with some kind of excuse. But here, based on Maharaj Ayati's, like, pastime, we can see that how, when we are inclined to engage in more sense gratification, there is no end to it. We will be keep on engaging more and more and more and more, because by nature it is not going to be satisfied. It is like adding ghee to the fire. So that is one thing we can, like, learn. Material desires by nature, they can never be satisfied. Why? Because whenever we have, like, all this, like, material attachments or material desires, if the circumstances are there in such a way that we can engage in those material desires, then what is going to be happening is that we will be developing that greed. I want more. If someone is someone who doesn't have any money, they might say, like, you know, like, as long as I have money to make sure that I am going to be eating 3 meals a day, I am happy. And once somebody has a little bit of money and then they are taken care of, then they will be like, oh, if I have this, some additional facilities, then I am happy. Then one becomes, let's say, a millionaire. A millionaire will say, I don't want to be the millionaire. I want to be the wealthiest person in Chicago. And then once somebody becomes wealthiest person in Chicago, they want to be the wealthiest person in Illinois, then wealthiest person in United States, and wealthiest person in the world. And once, when one becomes wealthiest person in the world, they want to make sure that they can maintain that. I don't want the second person to become first, so let me do whatever I can to keep on increasing and accumulating my, like, wealth. I try to do something so that the next person is not going to become the first. We try to do something or other. So that is the nature. So greed by nature, it can never be satisfied. So even when material desires are satisfied, because of the greed, we will not get the satisfaction. And so because we are not getting satisfied, we will be frustrated. So what happens if these material desires are not satisfied? Then we get angry. And again, we get frustrated. So by design, material desires, in essence, will never bring satisfaction. It will only lead to frustration. So it is going to be like pulling us into this tapastraya, like, you know, this threefold pulling and pushings of the material, like, nature. But rather, like, as we see in Puru, he was so much, like, as soon as his father asked him his youth, he immediately gave away. He said, sure, take it away. That is the nature of tapasya. So whenever we are engaging ourselves in tapasya, we are going to be not entangled in this tapastraya, the threefold, like, you know, entanglement of the material nature. So in essence, we need to be engaging in tapasya. And what is that tapasya? It is like for this particular age, the chanting of the Maha Mantra, serving, associating and serving the devotees. And what is the easiest way to again, like, you know, to please the Lord, as we discussed, is by associating with the devotees and pleasing them. Because devotees by nature are so easily pleasable. Devotees by nature are so easily pleasable. It is very, very easy to please devotees. So because they are so easily pleased, then the Lord is also automatically pleased. So when we are like anchoring for association of the devotees and act in such a way that we are going to be pleasing the devotees, then the Lord is going to be pleased. And when the Lord is going to be pleased, then He is going to give us His mercy. That mercy is the only thing which is going to take us out of the material world. We can keep on endeavoring and endeavoring and endeavoring, still that is not going to be sufficient, as we learned from the Damodar pastime. The Lord's mercy is, like, you know, very, very important. And He is going to show us His mercy when the devotees are pleased. Otherwise, we can keep on, like, you know, trying to do whatever we are trying to do. We will be still doing that. It is more like, you know, we can keep on chanting. If our chanting is like the chanting of the parrot, still, even if a parrot is going to chant, the parrot is going to be getting, like, you know, great, like, benefit. There is benefit even in the mechanical chanting, but the mechanical chanting is not going to help us. So how we can get, easiest way to get out of the mechanical chanting or mechanical activities we are doing is by receiving the mercy of the Lord. The easiest way to get, attract the mercy of the Lord is by pleasing the devotees. So that is the one which is going to help us in getting out of this tapasraya. So that is the first, at least partial answer for the first question. For the second question, do devotees engaged in dreaming just at night or throughout the day? At least I can speak for myself. Like, it is throughout the day, throughout, like, I don't know, our entire life. From the time we are born, we are dreaming. What is that dream? There are like multiple aspects of that dream. One of the aspect is that I am in control. Though we will be keep on reading from scriptures again and again, the Lord is the proprietor of everything. And we are just taking care of things, and we need to use whatever we are given in the service of the Lord. We keep on hearing about that. But we don't. It doesn't really go inside. It just stays on a mental level. It doesn't go deep into the heart. So that is one of the dream, like, which we have, which we experience. We think that we are the Lord of whatever we have. Like, you know, like, I am the controller of my house or my thing or whatever it is. And we also think that everything is under our control. Or the dream is, we think that we are this body, at least at a subtler level. As practicing devotees, because we are keep on hearing again and again, we are not this body, we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have to serve the Lord. Because we are keep on hearing this again and again, at least theoretically, we have that understanding. Yes, I am not this body. So if somebody asks, like, you know, can you tell me, like, you know, your basic teachings, then immediately we will tell. One of the teaching is, we are not this body. But are we actually following that? If we are not following, that means we are in dream. So like that, our entire life is filled with lot of dreams. And also, like, another, like, important dream which practicing devotees go through is acting out of their adhikar. So if I am a Kanishta Adhikari, I need to act as a Kanishta Adhikari. I cannot, like, you know, act like a Uttama Adhikari. So, like, many times practicing devotees, like, often have this kind of dream, kind of, like, mentality. We try to act as if we are something which we are not. After, like, you know, like hearing the like pastime of, let's say, like Haridas Thakur, he was not at all agitated by a prostitute sitting, like, you know, next to him at night in a secluded place. He was not agitated, he was chanting. And we cannot, like, you know, try to imitate Haridas Thakur and go to a prostitute and say, like, you know, like, you sit here, I will chant for you so that you can purify yourself and I can purify myself. Like, you know, we are going to fall down. So this is kind of an extreme example, but the thing I'm trying to point out is that often we try to act in such a way which is going to be like outside our adhikar. So often we call it as PDS. PDS means pure devotee syndrome. So like often many of us have that pure devotee syndrome. Though we are not a pure devotee yet, we act as if we are pure devotee. Or like, you know, we try to deny certain things, deny the facts. So let's say, like, you know, it might have taken me 15 years to chant one Maha Mantra. But whoever I am going to be preaching to, I have the expectation that what is this? I've been preaching to this devotee for the last 40 minutes. He or she did not become a pure devotee yet. This is like, you know, like, it is a useless case. So that is like another kind of dream. We try to impose certain things which is not like in a reality. That it might have taken us so long time. So we need to understand, okay, it took me so much long time, then how much more time it might take for this particular person because of whatever baggage they might be carrying. So when we are not dreaming, we will look at it from the realistic like perspective. How can I assist this person instead of trying to put some artificial conditions? So this person has to become a pure devotee within 24 hours. Like that. Though it might have taken us 24 years to even start devotional service. So like that, we can keep on talking about so many things which we do, which is keeping us in the state of, like, you know, like dreaming. So many of us, we are participating in this kind of like daydreaming to different levels. Like that, there are so many different dreams which we like go through. So hope that is okay, Prabhu. So anything else? Okay, last question in the interest of time.
Sorry, it is
okay.
Yeah, I don't want to take a lot of time. Thing is that it was coming to my mind that regarding to text number 47, that so that in like how that you know, Javati, King Javati was getting transcendental bliss, you know, so by the devotional service, and that actually that is called chit sakti. So when a devotee experience something transcendental bliss by doing some devotional service, by cleaning the pot, or by worshipping, he feels some satisfaction in his heart. That is called chit sakti. That is their chit sakti we had in Golok Vrindavan. Always, it was everlasting. But somehow or other, when we thought of independence and we want to enjoy ourselves, then we came into this material world. This material world is called Bahiranga Sakti of Krishna. When we come to this world, what happens? We don't tolerate others' behavior, it is nicely mentioned in 11th canto. Oh, very nicely it is mentioned that how that is in that verse, Bhayam Dutyavi Nivesat Syat. Romapada Maharaj always quotes this verse, very nice verse. So in that verse it is mentioned, it is explained how we get fear, everything. So because of contact with this material world, Bahiranga Sakti of Krishna. So this is what I want to share. Then another question, Sunil Madhav Prabhu said, Raga, how to detect which is good, which is bad. Anukilena Sankalpa Pratikulasya Bharjanan. and which is favorable to your devotional service, accept it immediately. And which is not favorable for your devotional service, reject it. That is the main principle. That is called discrimination. Discrimination is required. You have to choose which is good, which is bad, all under all circumstances. Then you will get detachment. Vairagya comes after knowledge. Jnana Vairagya. Vairagya renunciation comes only after getting knowledge. Unless you have knowledge, how can you get renunciation? So, thank you. Sorry to take it.
Yeah, no, thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, so that is a like good point. Like, you know, like how discrimination is like, you know, like important. But again, the easiest method to please the Lord is by pleasing the devotees. When the devotees are like pleased, the Lord is going to be easily pleased. If the Lord says, like, you know, it is like this. There are two different ways if you want to get a PhD degree. There are two different ways. One way is that one goes to high school, like, you know, elementary school, high school, then go to college, gets a bachelor's degree, and then after that applies for master's degree, and after master's degree, apply for PhD and complete PhD degree, then they, he or she will be awarded the PhD degree. And we also have honorary doctorate. Without going through even a person who is totally illiterate, if he or she did something extraordinary, a particular university can give a honorary doctorate to that person. So when we attract the mercy of the Lord, it is like, you know, like immediately without going through like any like additional steps, we can immediately get the doctorate degree. And the easiest way to even like cultivating knowledge, discrimination and everything is by associating with devotees and appreciating their qualities. For example, if somebody is going to tell me, you need to do this and that and that, you need to read scriptures, I might not be like, even after hearing the instruction for 50 years or 60 years, I might not be really putting my heart into reading that. But if I read Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita, and if I read how much of his energy he put into writing his purports, even on his deathbed, he was dictating. Why he was doing it? To assist us. When we see the compassion of Srila Prabhupada, when we see the compassion of the devotees who are preaching the message of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we see, yes, this is not a purport. This is not a purport. Rather, it is a personal letter which is written by Srila Prabhupada to me. It is not like, you know, written for Karunanidhi Prabhu or Sunil Madhav Prabhu or Giridhari Prabhu. It is not like that. It is written for me, Namaruchi Das. If I read it with that particular attitude, then the scriptures are going to be revealing to me what is the real knowledge. Otherwise, everything is going to be staying abstract. So when we have the gratitude, when we have those kind of qualities, that is going to be like, you know, like instead of getting pushed by the material nature, we will be pulled by Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna. So that is the thing which we were talking about earlier. Though all these are true, like, you know, knowledge, discrimination, everything is there. But most of the times, we don't have the desire. Even if you have the desire is not strong to actually get real knowledge. It just stays in the mental level. It doesn't go into the heart. Only way it is going to happen is by pleasing the devotees and pleasing the Lord by getting access to His mercy. And when we contemplate about the sacrifices of which our founder Acharya did and our own spiritual masters are doing, they don't need to do anything. We are not related to them in one level. Materially, we are not related to them. But our spiritual master and our spiritual preceptors, they spend like gallons and gallons of blood to assist us, so that we can go, like, you know, get out of this material world. Why they need to do that? They don't need to do it, but they do it. So when we think about this, when we feel that gratitude, and that gratitude is the pulling force which is going to help us actually discriminate. Like in a, otherwise everything is going to stay in a mental platform. We can read all the scriptures we want. Like, you know, we can read from first canto until like 12th canto, all the scriptures upside down. If it is going to just stay on a mental level, if we are not implementing anything, then it is pretty much, like, I don't want to say like useless, because when we read scriptures, it has, we get the benefit. We are getting association with Krishna directly. But at the same time, we can see, even those who had association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly, like whoever took the association seriously, they become pure devotees. There are also like others who did not take that seriously. They did not, like, you know, like become like pure devotees, at least that particular lifetime. But later on, like, you know, we don't know like what happened. So they will become like pure devotees one day. So that is the point like I wanted to make. The point you are making is like true, but whatever we are talking about is like even deeper than this, because we don't want the knowledge to stay abstract and stay on the mental level. We want to be able to implement that knowledge so that we can discriminate. One is literary discrimination, and another one is like real like discrimination, which is going to come only when our senses are controlled by the Lord. Like only when we are, like, you know, using our senses in the service of the Lord. And easiest way to do that is when we are, when we carry that gratitude. Because my spiritual master, he spent gallons and gallons of blood just to assist me. All of us, if we meditate on how much time our own spiritual master spent for us, it will be like mind-boggling. Does he need to do that? No. But he did it out of his causeless mercy. When we think about those, then it is going to be providing us the propelling force. Then our devotional service is going to go like rocket. Like, you know, when we have that, like, you know, propellant, we are going to go like rocket. Otherwise, we are going to be slowly walking like a person who doesn't have a leg. We are going to be like, you know, crawling, like slowly. So that is the point, like, I wanted to, like, make. So thank you so much for, like, tolerating. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. And to Jai.